You will hear a telephone conversation about a car insurance claim. You have 30 seconds to look at questions 1 to 5.
Good afternoon. Watto Insurance. This is Janet speaking. How may I help you?
Yes, hello. I would like to make a claim on my car insurance, please.
Certainly, sir. First of all, I'd like to inform you that all of our calls are recorded for monitoring and training purposes. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Could you please tell me your full name?
Sure, it's Mr. Bennett Fisher.
Okay, sorry, how do you spell your surname?
It's spelled F-I-S-C-H-E-R.
Great, thank you. I see that you have taken out third-party fire and theft premium with us on a 2013 light blue Volkswagen Passat. Is that okay?
Yes, well, almost. The colour is not light blue, it's light green.
Okay, thank you for updating your information with us. What is the nature of your claim with us today?
Last weekend, I had driven up to York on business and left my car in a monitored car park. However, it was only monitored until 8 p.m, and I did not return to collect it until 9:30 p.m, after which no car park staff were present. When I arrived at the car park, my car wasn't there. It must have been stolen.
I see. Were there any valuable items left in your car which could have been seen from outside?
Well, I had recently bought quite an expensive radio for my car, but the front panel is detachable, and I always stow it in my glove compartment. So, no, there wouldn't have been anything valuable on display.
Okay, Mr. Fisher. Thank you for that information. I'm going to send you some forms through the mail for you to fill in. Before I can do that, I need to ask you a couple more questions. Is that okay?
Of course.
You now have 30 seconds to look at questions 6 to 10.
Thanks, Mr. Fisher. First of all, could you let me know your policy number, please?
Of course. I have it right here. It's G34C245.
G34C245. Thanks. And the type of claim? Shall we say stolen car?
Yes, the car was definitely stolen. I reported it to the police immediately. I actually have the report number here, if that's of any use.
No, not right now. But keep hold of that, as we will need to see a copy of the police report eventually. Which police station did you report the offence at?
York Police Station.
Was it your first time in York?
No, but it was the first time I'd driven there. I usually take the train.
Were you aware that the car park was only manned until 8 p.m?
No, I was not aware of that.
Were there any signs put up on the premises that informed car owners of the risks of leaving their cars after normal operating hours?
Yes, but they said the car park was going to be guarded until 10 p.m, at which point the entrance is barred so no cars can come in or out.
Was any reason given for that sudden change?
The police informed me that the staff on duty that night had left on an urgent call. I believe it was something about a family member being admitted to hospital.
Were there any personal items left in your car?
Yes. First of all, there was the car radio I mentioned before.
Ah, yes, of course. Anything else?
Just some CDs and an old jacket.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Fisher. I have everything I need for now and will send these forms out to you shortly. When you get them, please fill them out with as much information as you can, and where possible, include copies of any relevant documents to support your claim, such as police reports and registration details. Once you have returned that to us, we can then start to assess whether you will be eligible to receive compensation. Do you have any further questions for me today?
No, that's all. Thanks for your help.
Now turn to Section 2. Section 2. You will hear part of a talk given by a member of staff at a hospital. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Hello, and welcome to the homepage for the Healthy Hearing Medical Clinic and Surgery, where we'd like to share a little more information about the services we provide and more. Our hospital is one of the leading specialised hospitals in the United Kingdom, attracting the very best healthcare professionals from around the globe. Not only are we a leading medical practice, but we are also the only hospital in the United Kingdom dedicated entirely to the treatment of and research into the curing of hearing loss. Our facilities and staff here are renowned across Europe, attracting thousands of patients a year. Our consultations can number anything up to 11,000 patients a year. However, we aim to treat around 5,000 patients a year so as to maintain and ensure the quality of our services. Our patients are guaranteed the highest standard of care, as well as the use of our first-class facilities. All patients requiring overnight treatment are provided with their own private room with ensuite facilities, as well as a state-of-the-art entertainment centre, which includes a flat-screen LCD television and PlayStation. Appointments with our healthcare professionals can be made at any time during the week, with female doctors available between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. If you need to see a doctor outside of these times, please visit the Out of Hours page of our website for more information. Our doctors are all trained to an exceptionally high standard and practice a vast array of specialities. Mr. Roberts is a fully qualified ear and throat specialist. Mr. Edwards is a paediatric hearing specialist, while Mr. Green specialises in reversing hearing loss. For more details about our people, please visit the staff members page on our website. During a consultation, doctors will sometimes decide medication is required, for which patients should receive a prescription. There are several pharmacies within the city. However, we recommend that patients use the pharmacy housed within our healthcare facility. Our in-house pharmacy is well stocked at all times. Our products are competitively priced, and our pharmacists are on hand to help and advise from 8 a.m. until 10 p.m. from Monday to Saturday, and from 9 a.m. until 12 p.m. on Sundays. If you require any help outside of these hours, please see our Out of Hours page on the website. Since the Healthy Hearing Medical Clinic and Surgery also functions as a teaching hospital, we aim to provide our students with every opportunity to expose themselves to medicine in practice. Therefore, we would like to encourage our patients to give their consent for a medical student to attend their consultations. If our patients are not comfortable with this, there will be a form at reception where patients will be able to opt out.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 16 to 20.
Now, please look at the map I've given you of the Healthy Hearing Medical Clinic and Surgery. For those not familiar with our practice, reception can be found through the main door at the end of the corridor. If your consultation is booked with Mr. Green, you need to go through the main door and turn right by the nurse's desk. And his office is at the end of the corridor on your left-hand side. If you need to alter any of your personal details, please visit our secretary at the Office for Medical Records, which you will find next to the therapy room. If you're awaiting surgery, please first check in with reception before taking the first door on the right after you enter the clinic. Finally, in the event that you feel disappointed with any of the services we have provided or have any further questions, please locate our manager's office, which can be found near the Office for Medical Records and between two closets. If you have any more questions about the Healthy Hearing Medical Clinic and Surgery, please do not hesitate to contact us on 01256 111 111.
That is the end of section 2. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You'll hear a conversation in a university student services office. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Hello, I'm Dawn Matthews.
Yes, hello. I've been referred to you because I'm inquiring about the refresher courses that you run. I'd like to find out a bit more about them.
OK. Well, we run quite a few different short courses for students who are either returning to study or studying part-time. Tell me about your situation.
Well, I think that I really need some help in preparing for the coming semester, especially to build up my confidence a bit and help me study effectively because, you see, I've been out in the workforce for nearly 12 years now, so it really is a long time since I was last a student.
Yes, it can seem like a long time, can't it? Well, let me start by telling you what courses we have that might suit you. Are you an undergraduate or a postgraduate? Arts or sciences?
Undergraduate, and I'm in the business faculty.
Right then. Well, first of all, there's our intensive Study for Success seminar on the 1st and 2nd of February.
Mm-hmm.
It's aimed at students like you who are uncertain about what to expect at college and looks at a fairly wide range of approaches to university learning to motivate you to begin your study and build on your own learning strategies.
Mm, that sounds good. What are some of the strategies that are presented?
Well, we try to cover all aspects of study. Some of the strategies in writing, for example, would be improving your planning for writing, organising your thinking, and building some techniques to help you write more clearly. With reading, there'll be sessions aimed at getting into the habit of analysing material as you read it, and tips to help you record and remember what you've read. It really is very important to begin reading confidently right from the beginning. There's also advice on how to get the most from your lectures and practice in giving confident presentations, as well as how to prepare for exams.
What about the motivational side of things?
Well, there's a range of motivational exercises that we do to help the students feel positive and enthusiastic about their study. The process of learning and exploring a subject can lead to a whole new way of looking at the world, and the study skills and techniques that you build up can be applied in all sorts of different ways.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 26 to 30.
I'm very excited about the whole thing of taking up studying again, but, you know, I'm a little nervous about whether I'll manage to get everything done. I suppose it's the same for all mature students.
Of course it is. Two of the key components of the course are time management and overcoming procrastination. People discover that once they learn to plan their days, all the work can be accomplished and there'll still be time for leisure.
Is there an enrolment fee?
The cost is £30, which includes all course materials and morning tea. You have to arrange your own lunch.
Well, that wouldn't be a problem. I already make sandwiches for my three kids and my wife and myself every day. I won't have to change my routine.
No. Now, I need to tell you that this is a very popular course and it's essential that you book well ahead of time. In fact, the course convener tells me that there are only 5 places left.
What other course might be good for me?
There is one other that you could benefit from. It's simply called Learning Skills for University Study and is on 3 consecutive mornings, starting on a Monday from 9 to 12. And costs £25. This is aimed at upgrading the study skills most school leavers have and help them cope with the increased demands of university study. It focuses mainly on making students more responsible for their own success.
What sort of things are covered in this course?
Well, basically, it's more advanced thinking, note-taking, reading and writing strategies, but also some input about stress management.
I think I'd be better off starting from the basics and looking at all the strategies, don't you?
Yes. From what you've told me, I think that's more in line with your situation.
All right, then. Can I book a place on the Study for Success seminar course now?
Yes. Let me just get out a registration form and take down your details.
That is the end of Section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now, turn to Section 4. Section 4. You will hear a talk given by Dr. Miranda James. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 35. Now, listen carefully to the talk and answer questions 31 to 35.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the first in a series of talks we have arranged for the Overseas Students Association this semester. Dr. James has very kindly agreed to speak to us today on the topic of public speaking, and judging from the large numbers of you here, it's clearly a subject of great interest and relevance. Dr. James.
Hello. It's good to see so many of you here, and hopefully what I'm going to tell you will be useful to you both here at the university and in your future employment. Many people avoid speaking publicly, by which I mean in front of, say, 10 or more people. Not because they lack the ability, but mainly because they lack confidence, which is really only due to lack of practice. Today, as a consequence of the influence of television, audiences expect speakers to be relatively brief and to the point, in addition to being well-informed and interesting or entertaining. Probably the most important part of public speaking is what you do beforehand, by which I mean preparation. This includes practical details, such as knowing precisely what your topic is and exactly how long you are expected to talk for. You should also plan the content thoroughly. A good strategy is to write out the content as you intend to say it, and then make brief notes, preferably on small cards, which you use to talk from. This way you sound more natural. You incorporate pauses while you look at your notes, and you can then look at your audience while you are speaking. Never read your speech without looking at the audience. Eye contact is a very important part of communicating with an audience. So deliberately move your head and look around at your audience. Pauses are important, as most people, when they are nervous, tend to rush through their speech.
Now you have some time to look at questions 36 to 40. Now listen and answer questions 36 to 40.
Practice speaking slowly. This gives you more time to pronounce your words correctly. It's always easier for your audience to listen to someone whose speaking is clear and calmly paced, so that they can understand the ideas being explained. And the bigger the group, the more slowly you should speak. Remember to project your voice, speaking clearly to the person furthest away from you. It's a good idea to rehearse and record yourself. Pay attention to your intonation when you listen to yourself. It's even harder if you're speaking in a second language, I would imagine. But there's nothing worse than listening to a flat, monotonous voice. So try to vary your tone and rhythm. This will add meaning to your words. Lastly, pay attention to both your posture and your gestures. A confident person stands, or sits in a small group, with their head up, chin out, and shoulders back. Try to avoid scratching or fiddling with your hair or beard or pens, jewellery and so on. These movements can distract and irritate your audience. Yet you may be unaware of them yourself. Another reason for rehearsing, preferably with feedback from a friend or better still, on video. I hope these few tips will make your experience of speaking in public a little easier. Remember, practice makes perfect.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers.